Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Well, howdy, howdy. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for April 14th, 2018. And tonight, I'm having a new moon show with some pretty intense energies going on now that will be peaking tomorrow about 8 p.m. Mountain Time. The Sun, Moon, and Uranus are now in the fiery sign of Aries, and over the next 24 hours, they're coming into alignment to integrate and synergize their respective influence. And any good quantum scientist can explain how this affects the energy fields of Earth, including the mind field, the collective consciousness of global humanity, the global mind, with some explosive opportunity at this time to wake up, wise up, and rise up with flashes of higher consciousness. That's the power of Uranus and Aries. And it's greatly magnified by the alignment with the Sun and Moon also in the cardinal fire sign of Aries. So these are some pretty intense times, folks. U.S. has been poking the bear all year, and Russia is getting tired of it. Right now, the U.S. warships are over this last 24 hours, they've been sending missiles into Syria again, just like they did last year about this time. So this is kind of a classic Mercury retrograde instant replay of what we saw a year ago. Limited cruise missile attack, almost like karaoke theater or something, or what do they call it, kabuki theater. I mean, it was like kind of a big to-do about nothing. We'll see how this turns out, you know, with what's going on now. But anyway, it's the same stupid script, you know, demonizing Syria's duly elected President Assad when the enlightened internet world knows the truth of U.S. and Israeli collusion in an agenda of regional hegemony that has already killed millions and displaced millions more with the ongoing Mideast war. So I'll be going into that later. You know, with the third blog I wanted to reference, I'm referencing three blogs today. And so what's the other big news that big media has pummeled us with over the last week? Well, the real story about Facebook is huge, and I'll be going into that more. Facebook has lost, I think it's $34 billion in stock value. This, I think, is this last 10 days since the attacks by big media began. And, I mean, Facebook is the largest social media network in the world, and it's become the major source of independent news for 2.2 billion Facebook members worldwide. I mean, this is huge news that's been going on. I mean, corporate media has been losing viewers to Facebook for years, and now they want to regulate it, and then I'll be going into that with articles and videos, you know, I'll be referencing later. So a week ago, I published the April Reality Report, and I addressed the intense energies of this April coming up, explaining how this will require cool heads and a step up in love frequencies, because there's a lot of fiery anger and fear going around, and you can really see it if you get into discussion of politics with anyone. But anyway, in that reality report, I went deep into the deep state, really the evil. What's the cause and core behind what's been going on? And there's a link there on this critical issue of political Zionism, which has infiltrated the deep state and largely rules its policies. And there's five videos at that link. And again, these links I'm referencing in the show notes with the podcast. So there's this link, and this is under this link is within the article regarding the April reality report. And I was trying to preempt what I could sense was coming with kind of doing an expose on the cause and core issue with the subject of political Zionism. And I fleshed it out. Wasn't intending to do this, but, you know, people don't understand what this political Zionism is and how critical it is as it affects our media, as it affects our government, it affects foreign policy, social, political, and economic, the banking system. It's just systemic, and it's really good to understand it. So anyway, I just figured, well, there's no healing a problem unless you, you know, come out of denial what the problem is. And so I just really went into it, pulled together some pieces I've done over the last several years, some videos recently, and basically did a kind of a systemic, holistic expose on this issue. Well, it's like going into hell. I mean, when I say that, for some people, this is like one of some of those freaky things they've seen, because it gets into the truth of this hellish subject of the genesis of endless terror, war, and mass media propaganda to maintain it. So anyway, this is why everything is so crazy, folks, in the media, and you know why there's so much cognitive dissonance and disinformation, deception, and fake news and fake science. And this subject does not want to be revealed by the deep state, and that's why after I did that article, I mean, I just felt a tremor in the force after doing that reality report, that April reality report. And I followed up with an inspiring article on the high state with a message from Universe. Now, yeah, it may sound bizarre. It's like from, you know, as above, so below. You know, I went from like hell to heaven, you know, kind of. But I, you know, balance it out. It's like, what is the high state? What would be the message from Universe? So there's links to these, both of these articles, again, in the show notes that go with this podcast. You can read about the message from Universe. You can read about the reality report, the April reality report, which has, like I said, a link that goes into political Zionism, if you want to go there. So in the message from Universe, I provided like a compendium of about 15 infographics that get above the fray of this 3D insanity, because I just really went into it with that political Zionism in that article, you know, and kind of a warning, cautionary, you know, this is the energy we, you know, need to deal with and understand, you know, to basically be effective in our invocations or prayers or intentions, you know, to make things right. You know, you got to come out of denial of the core cause and core problem. So this is what I tried to do, you know, as far as coming above that, coming above the fray from, you know, like 3D to a kind of a 5D message from Universe. What would that look like? You know, how would that be? What would that represent? And, I mean, really we're talking about a higher dimensional perspective of the universe, if you can imagine that. And there's, again, infographics that kind of frame that concept. You know, what would be a higher understanding of universe? I mean, we are in the universe and the universe is in us. How is that so? You know, what's the quantum reality of an all-connected universe? And how you are the universe expressing itself temporarily through human form. I mean, every individual with sentient intelligence is expressing the universe in form. You know, the spirit that matters, you know, on Earth as in cosmos, or, you know, the field, there's a source field, a unified field, a quantum field, you know, sometimes referred to as source or all that is real. We're all, you might say, channeling through our consciousness. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. Anyway, this exploring that perspective, that understanding, and the message from the universe. I mean, imagine what the universe would say to us. I just kind of did a reference thing here. Here's the universe speaking. Thanks for witnessing creation for me. I'm within you and help you to see. What a show, what an event, what a disaster we can prevent if only we remember how to be free, co-creating our spiritual sovereignty, framed by geometric order divinity, inspiring cosmic virtues for eternity. Well, the universe is a little poetic. Anyway, that was my best shot at what universe would have to say, you know. And there's actually a video in this compendium on spiritual sovereignty that's really phenomenal. This understanding of spiritual sovereignty, you know, co-creating our spiritual sovereignty. Well, what's spiritual sovereignty? Well, there's a video on that done recently, and it's extraordinary, and I'd highly recommend it. Actually, I posted that twice now. The previous article on the April 2018 reality report that I just referenced, I posted that, and I posted again because it's like spiritual sovereignty in a mad in a mad world, you know, I mean, things are pretty crazy. Well, why are they crazy from a spiritual perspective, and how would spiritual sovereignty resolve that? So this is an interesting video. I thought there was some extraordinary points made in that. I wouldn't say it's 100%. You might give it like a 90%. I don't know. You can find fault with any of this stuff, but there's some really good stuff in there that I think some of you will really appreciate. If you have the time, or you make the time, you know, rather than watching the boob tube, you know, might find that inspirational. So that video is about two-thirds way down to this blog post on Message from Universe. And it's followed up with other infographics. And the segue between infographics used different quotes from different, again, some of them are philosophers, some of them are, there's like this one from Mr. Rogers. I mean, we're talking about, you know, what is universe have to say? You know, how do you wrap your hand around, you know, the secrets of the universe, as Nikola Tesla would say it? You know, and of course he said that if you want to learn the secrets of the universe, think in terms of frequency and vibration. I mean, that's the understanding that every act of love and kindness raises the vibration of the entire universe. It's all connected. And I love this quote by, you know, Fred Rogers, you know, Mr. Rogers, at the show, you know, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He says that at the center of the universe is a loving heart that continues to beat and that wants the best for every person. Anything that we can do to help foster the intellect and spirit and emotional growth of our fellow human beings, that is our job. Those of us who have this particular vision must continue against all odds. Life is for service. So we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Like, we are the eyes of the universe. I mean, you are the universe expressing itself as a human for a little while. And as Alan Watts said, through our eyes, the universe is perceiving itself. Through our ears, the universe is listening to its harmonies. We are the witness through which the universe becomes conscious of its glory, of its magnificence. Alan Watts also said, life is the universe experiencing itself and in endless variety. And I like the quote by Carl Sagan, who said, you know, Carl Sagan, the astrophysicist, said, we are a way for the cosmos to know itself. We are a way for the cosmos to know itself. I love these kind of quotes. For me, it's like, you know, orienting to, you know, source. You know, cosmic law, language, cosmic reality. I like the scripture from Matthew said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So it all comes back to perception. And, of course, this is the understanding of thine eye be single, you know, that you might say the third eye. If you have singular vision, then you have this understanding that, you know, above and beyond the fray, that we're just visitors. We are all just visitors to this time and this place, and we're just passing through. And our purpose here is to observe, to learn, to grow, to love, and then we return home. So there's an infographic of that. I'm reading from one of these infographics, and that's one of my favorite ones. It's this beautiful picture of like this, well, it's kind of like an Indian dreglot woman with the third eye open, a beautiful crystal clear third eye between her eyes, and kind of a painted mask on her face, and the feathers coming out of her third eye, but you'd have to look at it. It's a cool infographic. And there's some other ones, quotes, infographics. There's one, a quote from Rumi, and this is that point of understanding that we are all virtually stars wrapped in skin. The light you are seeking is revealed within. And as Rumi says, I am not this hair, I am not this skin, I am the soul that lives within. And, you know, this is kind of this understanding of getting outside of our kind of a lockstep 3D perspective on who we are as a physical body, or we are our name, or we are our job, or identifying with, you know, we are American, or, you know, compartmentalizing, you know, this larger time space, the local time space, the identities that are, you know, kind of 3D oriented, when there's a higher perspective that's basically shared by all humans. And this understanding of you know, cosmic law, cosmic language regarding universe and the language of light of consciousness, the light as consciousness, how we're all connected to everyone and everything in the universe. So therefore, everything one does as an individual affects the whole. I mean, all thoughts, words, images, prayers, blessings, and deeds are listened to by all that is real, source. You know, call it God, call it the presence, you know, the I am presence, you know, the spherical consciousness, unity consciousness, high state, you know. It's, you know, we're hearing a lot about the deep state. We never hear about the high state. I mean, it's like in psychology. You always hear about pathology. You hear about, you know, full spectrum autism, but you never hear about full spectrum consciousness. So it's time to move beyond, you know, the dark side, deep state stuff, to embrace, you know, the bright light of the high state, as well focus attention. One's, you know, focusing one's attention with pure intention and love's retention in the fifth dimension, the full love comprehension. What that looks like, you know, in terms of the first principles of conscientious common sense, cosmic law, universal law. Law of the one, two and one, three and one, four and one, five and one, sometimes referred to as, you know, law of the one, you know, unity conscience, law of the two and one, polarity versus duality, law of the three and one, the trinity, you know, the three in one throne of love, God, God love, you know, some divine love. Anyway, these principles that I've, you know, over the years, I've framed in blogs, as with an understanding of first principles of geometric ordered divinity. You know, in the beginning, God geometrized, the ancient Hermetic philosophy, and in the end, we become what we geometrize. You know, basically, the frame of reference we create for our perception is either channeling, you know, the whole truth, but nothing but the truth, you know, as far as cosmic law language, universal truth, quantum reality, or basically, we're looking through the glass darkly. You know, we're even positioning, packaging, and promoting the whole truth as whole enough and bold enough and told enough, or the big lie creeps in there. Of course, that's ego, and ego has its own self-fulfilling prophecy, interest, intention. I mean, the ego is impatient because its time is limited. You know, 3D, time is limited. The spirit is patient is because it knows it is eternal. You know, and again, in the continuum of infinite and eternal relativity, we're all accountable for conscious selectivity. Relations of relevance and ultimate reverence will thin the veil, or by default mean severance. This is the understanding of, you know, we all have selective perception, and it's the way we frame it from our experience, our soul contract. You know, from before this time around, you know, what's coming through as the person matures and comes into that prevailing awareness of their, you know, becoming conscious of how they are, how one is conscious, a conscience evolves. It's like that small voice within, and it's like a feedback mechanism that self-corrects and self-directs. And, of course, this is basically the laws of universe. What goes around comes around. We reap what we sow. You know, to every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction, you know, and stimulus and response in biology. And, you know, there's just the law of, you know, physics. What goes around comes around. And that understanding, as we deal from the highest level of universe, the concept of universal law language, our connection with all that is real, the gathering of the tribes of Israel, and I'm not talking about politically, but I'm talking about philosophically, you might say. There's the whole spirit of unity and diversity in universe. You know, the unity and diversity at the heart of it, just like E Pluribus Unum is founding fathers that principle. They ensconced it, you know, on the Great Seal of the United States with that understanding, you know, that this is a first principle. And, of course, the gold standard, as far as the golden rule and the currency they originally established, you know, which England, the continental script and the whole understanding of the economy of the United States, the way it was founded and how it got co-opted and the banks got co-opted and all that. Some of you listening know that history. I'm not going to go into it all now. I'm going to kind of skip through it. Like I said, I was going to try and remain above the fray with these infographics and just kind of, you know, the spirit that matters, you know, without getting into a lot of the deep, heavy stuff, which I was trying to compensate for doing that by doing this message from Universe. So I hope you find that part of the of this presentation inspiring. And I want to use that kind of a launch pad to go on to this latter blog, which gets more back into the 3D world and what's going on with this, the big news of this last week with Facebook. And how, you know, basically, you know, there's this big drive on by big corporate media, you know, the deep state, you know, to regulate Facebook. And so I did an article on, okay, we can understand, you know, how the deep state wants to regulate Facebook. You know, they want to either break it up, you know, like the AT&T monopoly, or, you know, they want to basically, you know, somehow control it. So I did a, you know, what would be the opposite of that? Well, what is the potential of Facebook that's, you know, the opposite of being regulated into basically just another channel for the deep state, you know, like the boob tube and, you know, the broadcast media that's all scripted and programmed largely with disinformation and outright, you know, interface propaganda. So what could Facebook look like? Well, as it is now, what it has been a way of representing independent media. Of course, that's why deep state, you know, controlled media wants to regulate it. But so what would it look like if it was going to be regulated? How could it be regulated so that it would be, you might say, a social media, a public, it would, you know, the idea of a public service as a public representation to represent the public better? You know, what would that look like? And if you think about it, you know, the core infrastructure is established with Facebook with about 2.2 billion global, I call them netizens, you know, people, members of Facebook, that are already interacting in social networks. And so there's kind of like a mastermind alliance there, and the infrastructure is installed and operational. So all it would take to basically upgrade the system to represent, you know, an upgrade of our core, five core, you know, constitutional freedoms, which, you know, apply directly to internet freedoms. It's basically would require a patch on the system, you know, like a new application for what I call love applications. And if you look at the huge drama over this Facebook issue and the global drama going on right now, as the deep state is increasingly losing credibility because of social media like Facebook that exposes the corruption, the lies, the false flags, the misinformation. And of course, deep state wants to regulate that. They want to stop that. I mean, they're losing all credibility. Their credibility is disintegrating, the deep state. So, well, how could a high state of love integrate, you know, basically more conscientious common sense, you know, social conscience and social networks? What would that look like? You know, what would a high state of love, how would it integrate higher consciousness? How would it involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness? Well, anyway, that's the capability with an interactive universal interface for mass-to-mass communications. And, of course, those who have been following the blog and my blog and my radio show, I've been talking about that intently since the first of the year because either, you know, in 2018, our, you know, all problems are basically communication problems, and either that communication processes are upgraded with a, I refer to a vision of the virtue and valor for the victory of social conscience in our social networks, then by default, we're just going to have more, you know, fake news, cognitive dissonance, dysfunction, and general dis-ease. And I say dis-ease, like mental dis-ease. you know, where there's just all this fear porn and you know, endless war, you know, in our face, you know, threatening, you know, if we don't somehow, you know, capitulate to whatever the dialectic is in play at the time. You know, I mean, it's like they want to regulate Facebook. Well, what do? Well, they do a huge attack on Facebook, finding fault with it with technical stuff that, you know, with basically contractual stuff, financial stuff. And it's egregious, but you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, the infrastructure there is for an interactive communications for people worldwide, a free and open system. I mean, the solution is not to basically crimp down the system and limit the freedoms of expression, but this is what's going on, and I go into it in this piece. And it's, I mean, it's amazing what's going on. Different dimensions of how you know, I mean, what the real story is with Facebook. And so there are several videos on that, and specifically what's going on with this whole Syria issue of them, you know, basically trying to provoke World War III for the military-industrial complex. I mean, the whole scenario this last week kind of reeks of this understanding, you know, of the deep state, you know, fallen ones, dark side, whatever. Their time is short, and their fear is great. Their wrath is great. They're trying to make everyone as miserable as they are. And there's this, you know, you can just see it. It's like tangible. So I provided several videos that go into not just the deep state issue. There's three videos that deal specifically with either the attack on free and open media, and we're talking about how Google, Facebook, Twitter, a lot of big tech companies are beginning to basically suppress conservative voices in America. I mean, they're blacklisting sites, they're defunding sites, they're doing. As a matter of fact, this one video, it's referred to Facebook attack by the deep state to hijack social media. How they're doing that, and seven key ways they're doing that, and suppressing conservative voices in America. And some of the stuff is brilliant. I mean, for people that really want to know what's going on, you know, with the Facebook thing, that nails it. That, I mean, that video is just amazing. So, again, if you're listening to this podcast, it's the kind of thing you can pause. Pause the podcast right now. This is in the future. There's some are listening live now as I'm speaking. But the idea with the podcast is that you can pause it and then listen and you know, pull up the link in another window and watch these videos. And there are several of these videos. One on the bombshell revelation of the chemical attack in Syria, which is a whole World War III threatening, fearsome thing that they're building up in the media. I mean, are they just doing that to keep our eyeballs to the boob tube? I mean, is this, like I say, is it Kabuki theater, or is, I mean, are we, is it really like it seemed to be a year ago, or is this, you know, going to be something more? Well, it's good to understand what's going on and how this chemical attack is a false flag with an intention of starting World War III. And how do you ascribe intention to that? Well, you know, like John Bolton, you know, now is the new National Security Advisor, and you can go on and on and on with, you know, the war room has been all set up, you know, just this last month. And war room for what? Well, I don't think this is going to happen and blow up into anything really bad, you know, God forbid. You know, keep it in your prayers. It's an issue. But, I mean, it's like there's too much of the world and too many Americans and too many people worldwide know the truth of what's going on, even in the thing with Facebook. Why, this is all part of the deep state acting out, you know, basically trying to shut down and control social media, because social media has been exposing, you know, the whole truth and the big lie from everything from 9/11 to, you know, right on through to the present with this endless war insanity. And it's like, you know, if social conscience is going to mature in social networks, then, you know, we're being triggered, you know, you might say, with an understanding of, you know, the big lie, and the whole truth is, you know, trying to emerge. But like I say, there's no healing of a dis-ease, a disease, whether in an individual or a nation, unless people come out of denial of what the dis-ease is, what's the cause of it, the cause and core. So it comes around to, you know, we have an opportunity, you know, socially, politically, and economically, to upgrade our social, political, and economic institutions here in 2018. There's different ways that that can happen. The understanding of how our five core internet freedoms are an integral function of our core constitutional freedoms under the Bill of Rights, and what a universal interface for global telecommunications would look like. Well, for Facebook, how Facebook could be upgraded with a universal interface. It's a simple patch on the system, and I refer to it as Web 3.0 hardware cyber ethics. Frame it with the concept of the love model. The geometric ordered divinity and these first principles of basically the language of consciousness, the language of light. And I have a link on that and the understanding of how this universal interface, interactive interface, whereby for mass to mass interaction on a real-time or instant replay basis, what that would look like and how that would work in terms of the Holy Spirit of love and action. I mean, love and action, the higher the concept of love, the greater the results. The higher the concept of love and action, the greater the results as a Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, as social conscience in our social networks, it's maturing. That's where it's going. That's what Facebook has been taking us to the point, and it's taken people, 2.2 billion people worldwide, to the point where they're aware of what's really going on behind the scenes. And so they're aware that so much of this we're seeing is just, like I say, kabuki theater. It's just like, we're being entertained. It's like infotainment, entertainment with the news. I'm wondering if China and Russia and the United States at the highest level aren't somehow colluding with all of this to give us just enough war to hopefully inoculate us against the real thing. I don't like the analogy of vaccination, but the expression of they're going to give us just enough shock and awe, hopefully, like last year, that just enough that it inoculates us against the real thing of World War III. So let's hope that's the case. Anyway, I've kind of gone faster through these three blogs I did this last year, links provided, in the show notes, than I usually would. And I could spend more time going into different aspects of it. Basically, the summation is the understanding, the vision mission statement, you might say, is that we've got a problem with these big high-tech companies. And we're seeing that a lot of these high-tech companies are being co-opted to censor and restrict, regulate, you might say, social media. That Facebook and Google, Twitter, and Microsoft, we're seeing these different networks, they're high tech, increasingly censoring conservative viewpoints. And the perspective of, and sometimes I refer to Ben Fulford's post, and I provide links in this, several of these recent articles on what's really going on behind the scenes with the deep state, the black hats, and then the white hats in the military, and the white hats in the Pentagon, the government, and how they look at a lot of these high-tech companies as basically their use of and the restriction of and their censoring of conservative viewpoints. It's kind of, they look at it as kind of a rogue artificial intelligence that's threatening humanity. I mean, it's out of control. The deep state media programming of, just deception and propaganda, and a lot of people they just had it with it. It's so incessant, it's transparent anymore. And now people are recognizing that it really is propaganda. So the opinion of Ben Fulford, writing about this recently, he says that, transforming these companies, these high-tech companies, from brainwashing hubs, where basically they're manipulating the data that people are getting with algorithms, and we don't even know it. So it's a form of brainwashing because we're getting disinformation and deception. And transforming these companies from, like, as Ben Fulford says, brainwashing hubs into public utilities is a must if humanity is to be freed. Well, what would that public utility look like? And of course, this is the vision mission that I've gone into and finished up with, and the understanding of that social media as a public utility can be upgraded to involve and evolve our social conscience and culture, conscientious checks and balances on the use and abuse of power. And how that works with Global Telecom, which is, you know, Web 3.0, hardware, cyber ethics, I mean, it's an important understanding. Once you have that vision, it can become like the catalyst of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because you can see how that would, you know, help so many, you know, help the whole transformation process, you might say, from deep state to high state. You know, this is the conscious evolution, revolution, revelations that's defining the next big thing in the computer internet revolution, you know, Web 3.0. And what that, how, I mean, I'm talking about something that hasn't happened yet, but it's like a simple patch on the system to make it so. And it's like talking about the internet. Before the internet, people would think you were crazy if you told them, you know, 15 years ago all the things the internet would be doing, and how huge it would become, you know, for the knowledge power regarding anything. And we're sitting on the threshold of a quantum leap in this conscious evolution, revolution, revelations process. And having a vision not only what the problem is, but what the solution is in terms of open systems. Open systems that are transparent and interactive, and actually are interactive through the language of consciousness itself, you know, light language. And when I say that, you know, like you could interact with 100,000 or a million people at the same time by using three numbers in sequence, which is like the three digits. It's like a three-dimensional cube that references the fourth dimension in time and the fifth dimension in terms of how that field of response, again, the brightness scale from upper brain to lower brain, the color spectrum from left brain to right brain, the depth dimension from foresight to hindsight, you know, forebrain to rear brain. These dimensions, you might say, of brightness and color and pattern recognition can be referenced to any moment. You're watching a video, and you can punch in three numbers in sequence and create a dot in a cube and a little computer graphic, 3D graphic in the corner of your screen that shows your dot blinking within the context of field of all the other response. And this can be, you know, in terms of going back and watching a video and see the field of response, you know, like the unified field of consciousness in the social conscience at any one moment or the program as a whole. And then, of course, people would create new videos, and those videos can, again, reference the highlights of the video that they're evaluating, and where the highlights and where the collective consciousness at any one moment, you know, the context and meaning during a video, you can reference the collective consciousness that was responding. And again, this can be from an instant replay perspective, or it can be in a real-time evolving field that you can go back and see after a national presentation by a leader or a speaker in any social network. You can see how the collective field of consciousness comes together like a unified field of dots in these three axes, which again are referencing the upper brain, lower brain, left brain, right brain, forebrain, and rear brain. And it's a biological model. I mean, it's this whole understanding that we are in the universe and the universe is within us. The configuration of this light language, you know, is basically the universal language of light, of consciousness as consciousness, and how we can involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness with an interactive, you know, this universal interface for global telecommunications and social networks. So, again, I'm talking about something in the future that's coming. The vision of that alone can be the catalyst for a self-fulfilling prophecy. And some will get it, some won't. You know, the early adopters of this, as this comes online, could be a whole new dimension of Facebook. And actually, it could create a page a website that is not Facebook, but you know has the whole concept of Facebook. It's but the evaluation criteria, instead of just like, you can give these three numbers in sequence. And again, you're involving the dimensions of your own consciousness. And well, the more you use this language of consciousness, the more you become conscious of how not only you are conscious, but the field of, you know, field of dots, you know, and it's not personal. It's like kind of an impersonal field of people responding at that time. But to be able to see how, you know, consciousness responds, to have a responsive system that's conscientious. I mean, you can't expect in a self-governing system people to be responsible unless they are response-able. They're able to respond in a way consistent with the instant, everywhere, interactive, you know, communication capabilities. That now is possible. And people that know me and my blog and my history, that, you know, I was giving a presentation on that back in 1974 in the Science and Astronautics Chamber of the Rayburn Building on Capitol Hill to 10 agencies of the federal government that were looking at the bicentennial era with the era, you know, 13 years from 76 to 89, and looking at how we were going to celebrate revolution in America. And there was this future summit of World Future Society, Committee for the Future, I gave the keynote address at the third day of that, and gave out 10 papers to these 10 agencies of the federal government. And none of them would look me in the eye, because they pretty much nailed it. You know, back then, you know, cable TV was wiring the nation, and people could use public access with cable TV, which was mandated by the new cable TV laws. The three stations on cable TV networks were allocated for public access, which was the potential of, again, upgrading freedoms of speech, assembly, and to petition government. Well, it hasn't happened yet. And yet, now with the Internet, it could. And now, instead of a cable TV station as the head end for people going with public access to create their multimedia programs, people can do it on their own computer now. They can do it on their smartphone. And people can respond with their smartphone. So, I mean, it's like, you know, we're at the point where the technology is installed and operational with, when you might say, a simple patch on the system. We could have basically a global revolution of higher consciousness, and with homeostasis, with checks and balances. So the extremes, you know, the people, the public worldwide in social networks and worldwide can be represented directly. And what that will look like in terms of, you know, an upgrade of freedom of speech and assembly and to petition government and freedom of religion in terms of, you know, each to their own BS belief system. But, you know, here we are collectively in social networks, you know, maturing with social conscience and how that will work, you know, to basically check and balance, you know, universal rights in the public sphere. So, anyway, I get kind of excited about it. I can't think of anything better to do. And it's coming. You know, the vision alone, like I say, can be the catalyst for a self-fulfilling prophecy. How you flesh that vision out so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, using videos, you know, film is a great medium, and how you create a story that really speaks to the times, you know, and there's a German word for it, and I was searching for it the other day, not the gestalt, but, you know, there's the times, you know, it's like the expression, there's nothing more valuable than a vision that's found its time. Well, if there was ever, you know, a time where the collective conscience of humanity was going to either all hang together or all hang separately, this would be it. I mean, we're right on the threshold of social media being a vehicle whereby social conscience can be cultured worldwide, individually and collectively in different social networks. It can be a patch on any social network, could use this patch, so to speak, to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness with the conscience, you know, like capital C equals MC squared. C is the symbol for light. As you approach the speed of light, all time and space becomes relative. Well, as you become conscious of how you are conscious, all time and space becomes relative. With a conscience, it's like going from 3D to 5D, you know, from deep state to high state. I mean, there's a deep state reptilian brain, you know, it's the fight or flight mechanism, you know, in the lower brain of all of us. But there's a high state within all of us, you know, the third eye, the crown chakra. the, you know, the energy field in the upper brain, you know, and if you're centered in, you know, with fear, you know, in the reptilian brain, you're going to be reactive. But if you're centered more so in your higher brain, especially in the frontal, you know, with foresight in your the frontal brain, you're going to be more proactive naturally. So this understanding, this language of light and consciousness and the biological model, you know, with the brain field and the dimensions that with three numbers in sequence can reference basically how you were conscious in response to, you know, watching a video, and how that response can be benchmarked, you know, as a blinking dot, you know, as you're representing within a field of dots of all the people that responded, you know, to a program at any one point. And again, just like, you know, you're watching a Google video and you can take the time bar and you can slide it around. Well, you could slide around, but with the patch, you'd be able to see the collective field of response. It's like real-time representation. It's like an electronic upgrade of our you know, freedoms of speech and assembly and the petition all in one. Anyway, that's saying quite a lot. I could go on with, you know, my excitement and enthusiasm about that. Actually, I need to do something that I don't usually do. Ever since I did that that piece on political Zionism, I've been kind of, you know, my orders have fallen off dramatically. I don't usually talk about and promote the Swedish flower pollen extract, which has, you know, been underwriting my show. And, you know, the story of it as nutraceutical-grade royal jelly and how basically it's micronutrient rocket fuel for the mitochondria of the cells, and how you can take it under the tongue and sublingually it goes to the blood-brain barrier with neurotransmitter precursors for the brain, so the people that do a lot of mental work or computer work. It's like food for the – it's a full-spectrum micronutrient food. It's basically, they're nanoparticles that have been predigested with live enzymes. The richest source of RNA, DNA, genetic material in the food chain is, of course, pollen, but the heart of the pollen. I'm not talking about bee pollen. I'm talking about pollen extract, which is virtually royal jelly. And we're talking about, you know, the difference between bee pollen and this royal jelly, this Swedish flower pollen extract, is like the difference between a bicycle and a Tesla supercar. I mean, it's... We're talking about all the vitamins, minerals, aminos, everything at the source of the food chain needed for life, extremely concentrated form that's been microbiologically predigested with enzymes, so it's easily assimilable, goes right through the blood-brain barrier under the tongue sublingually when you dissolve it under your tongue, but you swallow the rest of it and it feeds the endocrine system nothing else. We're talking about the glands, the glandular precursors they're called prostaglandin precursors, for in other words, the hormonal precursors that regulate everything in the body. So it is the immune system, and you have to strengthen the immune system. You can take this orally. This product is the only natural product I've ever heard of that's being used by big pharma companies in drip IVs all over the world. This is the source material for immunotherapy. And in America, of course, we know that the cancer is about a $200 billion a year industry, and they don't use the pollen extract yet in the drip IVs on the front end. They could, but there's no money in that. They use it on the back end when people's immune system is wiped out, and with chemo and radiation, they'll bring them back with this drip IVs, with this ingredient, this raw material, this extract from pollen. Will bring back the immune system dramatically. Now, I'm not making a medical claim. I'm making a medical statement of fact that, you know, it's well documented because I work with the source company when they were bought with the big pharma company about 10 years ago. And so I know the history of it, and I know that this is really one of the most miraculous whole food concentrates for healing on the planet. And I usually don't talk about it, and I guess I should on my show. So I'm just referencing that because I need some orders. Things have fallen off. I don't know whether I'm being blocked by YouTube and these companies or, you know, some of these. I mean, I suspect it. You know, I've suspected, especially on Facebook. But at the same time, you know, I have a limited exposure out there, and there's more than 10,000 people on my email list, and I have regular orders that come in from that. And anyone that's not on the email list that is listening can certainly, you know, email from the show notes, you know what my email is, ultramedics@mcn.net, or cosmiclove@mcn.net, and contact me and be glad to put you or your friends on. And again, I usually don't promote my show like that or promote my products that sponsor the show. It usually takes care of itself, but things have been slow lately, and I thought I'd add that, and I want to thank everyone for listening, and encourage you to look at the links, you know, with the show notes, and by God's grace, see you in another couple weeks. So happy trails till we meet again. You know, keep the faith, see the good, make it so, and I'll see you in a few. Bye-bye.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.